Oh my God.
Kind of a sad can crack, which is the end of the road.
Which is a bummer.
Well,
you know what?
I know. That's kind of how
I
feel.
I heard better can cracks from Gatorades in the press box than that can crack right there. Which, yeah. By the way, we can start the show with that.
We got to vote.
Because you and I got into a little squabble in the press box at the national championship.
So
over.
We are serious professionals covering the most important college football game played in like the last 10 years. And what are we talking about as we're sitting in the press box? Gatorade in a can. Now, leave this up to anyone watching or listening. At the press box, I had not seen Gatorade in a can in a pitch. Have you ever seen Gatorade in a can?
Yes, I have before.
Okay. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
My take was it's delightful. I had 3 Gatorades within about an hour, I would say, right? It was
maybe
flowing.
2, yeah.
Oh yeah, 2. And we were flowing. And I said, I tweeted it, I'm like, the Gatorade in a can is the superior Gatorade drinking experience. So you go up and get one eventually, and you sit down and you're like, this is underwhelming.
I was like, this is not what I wanted. The like freshness of it. But to be fair, I did mention to you I had fruit snacks before there. By the way, I haven't had fruit snacks in like 10 years. Okay. I have literally not had fruit snacks in a gummy like person. I've had like gummy candies that are like something, but fruit snacks, no, I have not. Okay. And so I grabbed fruit snacks because I was starving. So I got fruit snacks and then I had the Gatorade. So I think that messed with the flavor, but it just wasn't like the oh my God thing that you were posting on Twitter. And so I kind of called you out and I was like, I don't like think this is it. So the two of us are sitting in the press box and you're like, no, you're crazy. I'm like, no, I really think it's not that good. And you're like, I think you're just trying to troll me. Like, I don't think, and like, this is, mind you, there is still 2 hours, 3 hours before the game starts. So don't worry, we weren't distracted during any of that because we get to the field 8 hours early. So don't worry. Okay. We were not doing our jobs of focusing on Gatorade, but it was hilarious that it just is so indicative to this show where like you obviously have said orange Gatorade is your favorite. I think lemon lime is the best. We disagree on
the first two
flavor of Gatorade.
I did cover the gauntlet of flavors. I got fruit punch in there as well.
Yeah, I only had one. So
yes.
And didn't finish it.
So perfect entry point to the season being over. Lots of national championship tidbits to unpack.
Yes.
Getting to the game, vibes of the game, you getting sick.
Yeah.
Not at
you
the
missing
game.
Half the time there you, because
yeah,
I was sick.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of it. Indiana doing the goddamn thing. Miami putting up a hell of a fight. I don't know. The floor, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the game and then we can work our way backwards to just the weekend in general. And then also just some offseason stuff. We will cover the transfer portal stuff that is happening. And just like the chaos that is what is next for the sport. And when we might know that. I don't think it's going to be the end of this week like we thought. But I'll start with the game because I think one thing that is interesting is that, of course, we made like a lot out of Indiana being this like, wow, greatest, you know, turnaround of a program, greatest, you know, season, all of these things. And I think we really, the vibe going into the game was certainly that it was kind of going to be Indiana. For a lot of people, it felt like, okay, this might be a blowout like we've seen before. We've also been to the last couple of national championships and there really have not been close games. Like, right. We have not had a one possession game and, you know, it coming down to the wire in quite some time in the national championship. And that's been hard for the playoff, whereas, like, you know, the semifinals are the better games or, like, you know, the expanded playoff, again, having some of those games be good, but kind of some of them being really lopsided. It hasn't been great. So I think going into it, a lot of us were thinking this was going to be Indiana's sort of going to run away with it. And I know as we got closer, a lot of people were like, hey, maybe Miami, maybe. But I think the narrative was like, look, this team is undefeated for a reason. They've been blowing people out in the college football playoff before this. Sure, Miami has put up a great fight. They've played really great games against some really great teams, but it's all about Indiana. And I think it was fun to have it be a bit more exciting. Like, obviously, Indiana was in control the whole time, but there were moments where it was like, this could be a, they bent, but they didn't break. And it was like, this could be the breaking point for them. including the final drive for Miami. But it was, I would say that part was really fun. Also, just like the quotes from this weekend were better than most national championship quotes. And I don't know if that's just because of Kurt Zignetti, but even just like the idea of like, everybody loves the human aspect story of this.
Yes.
And we got all the warm and fuzzies of the Indiana team and Fernando, his family. I mean, just amazing stories and wonderful, heartwarming things. And you have Kurt Zignetti being like, you don't bring milk and cookies to a war. Like, it was just so funny.
Great
that he was
line.
Like, stop trying to make all that happen. Like, let this be about football. And the football game was great. So that is my long-winded way of saying,
yeah,
I actually really enjoyed the narratives around both of these teams. And I know I really, you know, dug in on Indiana there, but Miami deserves credit and Mario Cristobal deserves credit. And, you know, the turnaround of that program does need to be acknowledged, and the difficulties that it takes to bring a blue blood back in this era of college football is not as easy as people may think, because there's so much that has changed. And so it is important to acknowledge that.
I'll take the Miami side. First off, the vibe at this football game was unbelievable. Probably the coolest vibe and the warmups with all the Mark Cubans, the Ed Reeds, all the Miami folks. You could feel it. Like, I had chills, and I've had that before, right? Say it's like those really, really good Alabama teams, LSU. I don't think I've ever felt that hyped before a football game. Like,
yeah,
electric, just yeah. electric.
Both fan bases just like happy to be there. That's the other part, is that like we've experienced at least one team who's either been there or just feels like they like, I don't know, just turn their nose up at the whole thing and don't realize the pageantry of it. And this felt like two fan bases, so excited to be there. Sidelines, everybody's just ecstatic for the game and just happy and excited for a good football game. And it was amazing.
And then I'll hit on the Miami side, because, yeah, I think writing about Indiana at Media Day was really fun, because the Zignetti and Mendoza dynamic is so cool. They're so different. Didn't exist like a year ago. Certainly none of it exists.
It's
just
crazy, but
like I'll say, like, Mario Cristobal, I have ripped on pretty incessantly for a couple of years, and like, man, I like that dude a lot. He is business, and his remarks before the game, certainly his remarks after the game, like, so after the football game, right? Where you, to paint a picture, so the game ends, and we're writing. It's grind time. So for us, some years we've gone down and it's kind of a mess.
They changed it. You used to be able to be on the field 5 minutes before the game was over and like experience that. Post COVID, they have not let us be on the field until after the final whistle.
Those were awesome, but like, we've got a story. I had a story to do, right? Like,
yeah.
And so you got to pick your chances. So I'm writing a story, and it's you're tired and you're looking for quotes. And the first one to go up is always the losing team. And so it's Miami, and it's the saddest, and it's sad, not just Miami. It's always heartbreaking. You have young kids, you have coach, and I loved his defense. Everybody wanted to ask about next year, and he's like looking at Ruben Bain and all, like, you know, acknowledging just these guys bought in. Like, that was a narrative that really kind of popped up and really thrived, is just how shitty of a situation Miami has been in, which I think is valid. So I thought Miami truly gutsy. Ruben Bain, I rewatched the championship game yesterday. I'm a Jets fan. They hold the number 2 pick. Fernando Mendoza, they're not going to get a quarterback. I would like to put my my hand up for one Ruben Bain for the Jets. I thought that performance, watching it again, was just fucking incredible. That dude is – they had a chance. I mean, you know, at the time, but they – like, that Carson Beck throw was kind of inexcusable. It's a really terrible throw. They're in position. The only thing you can't do is that. Throw it deep. Throw it toward the sideline. Maybe you'll draw a flag. It's a heartbreaking way to end a football game. Very Indiana way. But heartbreaking. And then the other thing, Paige, so I think I saw Bill Conley wrote, not wrote, but the analytics, Indiana's projected win percentage was like 17%. And like, Indiana, when you think about it, like the block punt, like, this was not a great Indiana game. You have Charlie Becker doing fucking crazy ass shit. You've got a block punt. You've got an interception. You got Fernando doing like battering ram into the end zone. Like Indiana needed everything to win.
Penalty
this game
to move you back, not penalties. Be able to ice the game. Like it was scary there, not gonna lie. But on the Carson Beck thing, look, I think, you know, the move to Miami, the surgery, listening to him talk about what he went through, all of those things, it is unfortunate that this is the way his career ended in college football. But I also, I hate to be this person because I don't love this thought, but the weirdness of him not shaking anyone's hand, and like I get it, like some competitors it's just not for them and they have to leave, but also not to have him in the press conference either, I thought was interesting. Like when you were mentioning that they announced like the press conference and whatever, I thought that was really interesting, and I understand that this stuff is hard, all those things, but when you are about to go to the next level, I'm curious how that
$4 million a year,
how that works.
Yeah, I haven't been the presser. He's been through it. He could handle it. Like,
yeah.
Like, shit throw. Really yeah. Interesting college football career. Complicated.
Complicated.
Good. Lots, some really good highs. I'm interested to see how they.
Remember when we were talking about the TCU Georgia game? We're like, who is their backup quarterback that came into that game?
Well, and it's like in a year of no QBs in the draft, he certainly will get a look. Although I don't know that arm. Has just not looked right all year, and the season ends with it. So I think Miami's going to stay really good. Obviously, you've got it is somewhat symbolic that during this game, you have this Mensa situation with Duke and Miami seemingly trying to pay him $6, $7 million.
Okay. That was so bad. That was so bad that we both just did it. Also, wait, do I have it near me?
I didn't mean to say $6, $7, but once it came out that way,
it just, you have to do it.
I was pocketed.
I had to find the picture, maybe, instead of going to grab my actual credential. But I was dying laughing at our credential. This is my credential from the field.
I told my kids about this.
It has numbers, and they mean stuff on the back. But it literally is 6-7.
My kids were very excited for me.
I thought that was so funny. Immediately picked it up. I'm like, did they do this on purpose? Like, this has to be a joke. But anyway...
Just in general, I think Miami is going to stay relevant. Malachi Toney is an incredible player. You've got some really good pieces. That offensive line, watching them warm up. And that's kind of when we were like, oh boy. Like, I really started to feel doubt because they are, I mean, it's a massive group of humans. Massive. Yeah,
I mean, humongous. But it was just one of those things where I do think Miami's going to continue to do well. I think they've sort of found their formula. We can talk about the Mensa stuff here in a little bit. I don't want to dive into that before we finish the recap of the weekend. But also Fernando Mendoza for not having the best game, having the moment. Like, that's just what is the difference maker, is like having those moments where you literally put the team on your back and get obliterated. That was everything.
Do you think he's... I had an interesting thought yesterday on him, and I forget who put it on Twitter, but I was engaging. It was great, interesting back and forth. Do you think Mendoza is like a can't-miss prospect? And I know that we're not forecasting quarterbacks, but do you see him and just think to yourself, like, wow, this guy is a future Pro Bowler at the NFL level? Like, because I struggle with that.
So, I think there's a difference between, like, the skill set being there and like all of that, which he has the skill set, I think. But
why 6'5", honestly, huge arm, absolutely, yeah, like superb athlete.
It's more that he's genuinely like, this sounds kind of cheesy, but like he wakes up every day and tries to have the best day of his life and work as hard as he possibly can, and that's not something that's like faked or forced. It is genuinely who he is every single day, and when it comes to football, like, he's proved that, like, he's willing to put in the work, and I think that's the thing that is like a guarantee slam dunk in terms of drafting him, is that you're going to get someone who is not coming with a like attitude. You're not having to worry about whether or not they're going to put in the effort. And yeah, sure, it may not work right away, and that doesn't always necessarily translate in the NFL. And sure, he's going to get beat up and all of those things. But one, he's proven he's tough as hell, and he's taking some serious hits.
Well, that's part of my problem, though. Like, I don't know if this style of play graduates really well. Like,
yes and no, but also he can develop. And that's the thing that I think is there, is that, like, I am curious to see. And this is always, we talk about this a lot with quarterbacks. Like, it sucks if they go to, like, the worst teams. You know what I mean? Like, because, again, it just doesn't take one person. Yes, of course, quarterback's super important, but protecting them, doing all of those things is very important, and it could really cost someone their career. But I think in terms of, like, what it is worth it more so than a lot of other prospects that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's nice that he'll go with Ashton Jeanty and Brock Bowers. How cool is that? And he'll go number one. And it was an interesting discussion, because part of it, I also think playing for Indiana is part of it still, like, conceptually. Like, when you watch Joe Burrow just be like John Wick at LSU, you're like, of course, this will translate. This is different. This is ugly at times, and not a negative. Ugly. Like, he
made ugly. But also, look at the team that Joe Burrow had around him.
Well, look at this team, though. I mean, look at Charlie Becker.
Sure, but on the same level. Come on. You cannot say that you know that the players, and Cignetti even said that. Like,
but also, I would argue that this is interesting. This coaching staff and this vibe is unduplicatable. He will never play in a system. He'll play with better players. He'll play with Brock Bowers, one of the greatest athletes in the NFL, and Jeanty. But can you do this with a vibe? Because, look, I'm a Jets fan. You fuck up a good thing, like Sam Darnold might play for a Super Bowl here. So I actually don't necessarily – I want him to do well. I like him. I actually think he is this just charming Uber nerd who is so categorically like himself. It was cool to see that. Like, it's not an act. He's just this way. But, like, now this next step starts, and –
I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret, because people are going to take this very much out of context, and I'm not comparing him to this individual, but I'm saying way that he is reminds me of Tom Brady a little bit, in the sense that they both have the nerdiness of the football stuff. There's, like, a lot of nerdiness that goes into Tom Brady, and, like, we didn't even get exposed to that until he was already sort of great. Whereas, like, Mendoza, like, we've seen it, because the college career, the Heisman, all of those things, we know that about him. That's the part. It's like the attention to detail, the wanting to be great in all aspects, the expectation for himself, those type of things is very Tom Brady-esque. Like, Tom didn't eat what he's never had, like, a strawberry or whatever it is that he's never had something. And it's because, like, it's the discipline there. And that's what I'm saying is more Tom Brady-esque, is Fernando is willing to do those things and, like, happily do them, by the way. He's not, like, doing it just because he thinks he has to. He's doing it because he's convinced himself that he loves it. And so I think having that football nerdiness and just, like, life nerdiness and wanting to be exceptional at all levels is going to pay off at the next level.
I really like him. I really like this Indiana team. I like Surratt. Becker will be back. The running backs were really good. Pons is really good. I mean, they're just like, it's like how they assembled. And I know we've talked about this, and it's like everybody's writing this, including me, in different ways. But how you assemble this in 2 years, like, it's truly astonishing. And it is not repeatable. Like, this is what's going to, and it's not just NIL. It's like, it just the parts work together so perfectly.
You have to be in the right conference. Like, I mean, I'm for real, there's just so many things that have to go into this that are not possible to make happen anywhere else. And sure, you could turn, and I mean, I think it's a testament to how bad Indiana was, not necessarily like where they're at, because there's certainly teams that are just as good and programs that are just as good as Indiana and are going to still be those things. That's not it. It's more just like going from where they were to this in the way that they did is hard. I mean, look at Mario Cristobal. It took him, longer. And thank goodness, here's the other thing is you and I have talked about this so much. Sometimes it just takes giving guys time, but then sometimes it's also finding the right guy. So like yeah. Cignetti was the right guy to do this and do it in the way that he did in the short amount of time that he did. But for Mario Cristobal in Miami, it took longer than that. It needed a full breakdown to build it back up. It needed a lot of things. And that's why it's like, it's not a perfect science. That's why 80s, that's why coaches are being fired and paid not to coach, because it's not a perfect formula to getting it right and running a program. And that's a hard thing to figure out. And that's what makes this even more amazing that Indiana did it.
Talked about Bane. Okay, Tony is, we get two more years of him. Very excited about that. That dude is electric. That is like, my God. I hope they'll find a competent quarterback, I'm sure. They had the dude on their roster, by the way, Nickel.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, God, he looked like he was 7 feet tall. He was put together. I love Tony. Is so exciting. And Indiana, like, I mean, they return quite a bit. And what they don't return, like, you know, you have Josh Hoover coming in, who I think is going to drive Kurt Cignetti insane with his hero ball stuff. They're going to have to break that out of him. You bring in Nick Marsh. Becker is back. You lose two really good running backs. Your defense replaces, or excuse me, the defense returns a ton. Indiana is going to be hugely relevant next year.
Yes.
And a really good chance of being in a similar position.
Yes. Alberto Mendoza is leaving and going to Georgia Tech, though, and will be in a QB battle there, which I'm actually really fascinated by. Not a bad place to go.
God, no. Not at all.
Not a bad place. If you like the way Kurt Cignetti is, buddy, let me tell you, you're about to be in such a similar situation with your coach there. I do want to talk about the Menza thing really quick. We can do with the rest of our weekend in Miami and random shit. But the Menza situation with Duke, we almost had this with Damon Williams. There is so much of this that is crazy. Duke is suing him, basically got the order to stop him from being able to sign with any team or enroll in any school, which, by the way, we were talking about how the loophole to everything is really dropping out and re-enrolling somewhere else. That's all been blocked until this hearing. It's a catch-22, really, in the sense of, like, you don't want to go through this and have, you know, a quarterback on your roster that doesn't want to be there and has all this ugliness. But at the same time, like, these kids have to be, if you are signing paperwork that says you want to stay, this is why, like, the whole deal, the whole signing things that are, you know, what are the rev share agreements and all that is like complete bullshit. Like, we need to actually have contracts. We need to actually like just treat this for what it is and like the pro sport world and stop pretending that this is anything but that.
I'm assuming the contracts are going to get better too after
this is better than what's so, and people have learned for sure. And again, that's the other part of this, though, is that, like, the other flip side of this is I understand for some of these guys why this calendar and when these contracts need to be signed by is causing an issue. And I know that we were talking about how the portal closed last week, and that was just to enter your name. It wasn't to sign with anyone. You could still sign. There's still people that could go into spring and sign because their name is in the portal and take their name out of the portal. I wonder when the actual deadline is, but I don't think it's until like right before summer ends. I think it doesn't matter until the next semester. So like, there's just a lot of this that needs to be worked out. And like, to your point, things will get better in terms of contracts and wording, and they will really not be able to get out of this. But at the same time, that's not fair because of the situation that these guys can be put in where they're stuck for a year with a school they don't want to be at.
I should know this, but obviously you've got Indiana guys going in the portal post championship.
Yeah.
So like the rules are a little bit different depending on, I guess, when your season ends.
They have until the end of this week.
Got it. Yeah. We saw Yeah, we've seen still kind of a little bit of movement. It'll be interesting to see if any saw some Miami names pop in there today. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot to chase down. LSU, by the way, is doing pretty good work.
They are.
Lane has built himself a really nice roster year one. Or year zero, if we do that anymore. What else, Indiana, Miami, or otherwise, from that game?
All right. I feel like that's it. What a cool season. What a fun.
It was a really cool season. You know,
like RIP all of us for choosing Penn State and Clemson. Like, this is just, this was amazing. This was a good, we needed this season. We needed Indiana. We needed Cignetti. We needed Mendoza. We needed Miami barely getting in and then now making the national championship. Like, we needed that.
Yeah. I look back. I mean, that catch against Penn State, right? I look back at Miami beating Ohio State. You look at like these individual moments. I mean, how long ago does Ohio State Texas feel like? I mean, that feels like a lifetime ago, right?
I know.
And it's cool because I'll say this, like the rosters are largely together most of the part. And like, you could bet on the futures now. You can do like, and you start to, you can't help but think about this stuff. I feel, and the sport now, you and I have talked about this, it is a 12-month a year sport. Right. Like things will calm down, but like, I mean, Jesus Christ, spring football opens for teams like somewhat soon. Right. It's wild. It was a really fun year. I know what I wanted to talk about on the topic of playoff. As we're in Miami, they're trying to decide a playoff format.
Yeah.
And I really don't like the general vibe that is being given. And when I say they, we're talking about the Big Ten. We're talking about the SEC. The Big Ten wants to move
their choice
to 24 teams. The SEC would like to move to 16. They have a deadline, essentially, like that cannot be moved. It is wild that
it's the 23rd, correct?
Yes, it's basically a full year. Because next year's game is going to be later, which is stupid too. What do you think? I hate this. I hate everything about this. 12 actually kind of works. I'd be okay with 16 because you could get rid of the buys, which frankly I don't love, and just have the flow of it stay the same.
Yeah.
Do you have a lead on this either way?
I would rather 16. That I feel like would be better, but I feel like if we're going to just do this for 2 years and then change it again, then let's just get to the point. But I also think like we need to let, like, again, the circumstance with like Miami, the ACC and all of that, like the qualifiers, like this was a good lesson this last year with the 12 team. And I'm like, I feel like it's appropriate to go to 16 and evaluate what we're not thinking about in terms of how this shakes out, because that was part of the thing is like, we think we know how this can all shake out and how it would perfectly work. And I think you don't really know until you try it. And I think, of course, we know it's going to expand regardless. I don't think it stays at 12. And I think 16 is a good grouping. Like you said, we don't need buys. I think people want more meaningful football. And if you have those games start the same weekend as bowl games, then it's going to be every weekend there's something that's a playoff game and a game that matters. And full disclosure, like, the numbers on these playoff games were incredible in terms of viewership. So, like, it flows with the money part of it, which is the main factor in all of this.
I think going to 24 feels troubling. Like, we're not looking out for the best direction. And we got to get a handle on the calendar.
You and I would have our teams in, you know? It would be exciting.
Oh, I mean, yes, we would have our teams in.
But at the same time, like,
that's not good.
No,
it's
not good for football. It's great for basketball, but.
All right. Well, let's talk some other Miami winning shit. So we get there Friday.
Yes.
We have a good time. Great, great time. Saturday morning, bam. Down for the count.
Down for the count. Yeah, no, Friday night, I got in pretty late because, of course, my flight is 8 million hours long. And we had a good time. We hung out in hospitality, chatted with everybody, said hello. Drinks were had. We were good. And then I woke up at like 3 in the morning, which, mind you, we went to bed like pretty early on Friday. I feel like we were back up by like 10:30-ish.
Yes.
Maybe even earlier. And I woke up at like 3 in the morning and was like, yeah, I have a fever. Like, I don't feel good. My head hurt. My face hurt. Like, I was like, I don't feel good. Which, mind you, I have been sick for quite some time. Got over it a little bit and thought I was good. Was not. So woke up, was not feeling well. It was a Saturday, so had to call urgent care. Got some medicine. But I tested for, like, I text Adam and David, and I was like, I'm testing for COVID and both the flus because I don't want to give anyone anything if I have something. Not that you guys weren't already around me, but I was worried because I didn't know. I thought I was over my sickness. Turns out sinus infection, got a steroid and some antibiotics and was like back in action, but was still just like exhausted. My body was like purely exhausted from dealing with this sickness and not sleeping. And so I was pretty down for the count for most of the like off days and fun that we were supposed to have.
Yeah, you were down. It was weird.
Yeah.
Like we did media day. We did.
Yeah, I did media day from the hotel room. David and Adam were there in person. And I texted you guys at like 7 a.m. And I was like, we were going to meet at 8:30. I was like, I can't.
You were missed. And then we had a great dinner. We were able to rally.
We were able to rally. And we should talk about this dinner because we go into this restaurant.
God.
The weird part about this is I said, right before we walk into this restaurant, I found this place and got us a reservation for this place before, like probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, okay? And I say to Adam and David, we're walking over, I say, oh, I think it's in a hotel. And I was like, oh, by the way, do you guys know where the team hotels are? And as we are walking up to this hotel where the restaurant is, we see the Welcome Indiana and we're like, oh, shit, we're at the Indiana Hotel. So we get in there and everybody's dressed in Indiana gear except for us. And we were like, oh, okay, cool. So we go over to the hostess station and I'm like, yeah, we have a reservation for 5:30. And they're like, yeah, actually the restaurant doesn't open until 6, but we can see you at the bar. And I was like, why did it let me make a reservation? Here nor there, but just something to keep in mind if you go to Toro Toro in Miami. Open table gives you reservations when they're not open. So there's that. The bar is open. So we get seated at the bar, okay? Mind you, there is no one there. There are
a nice table in the bar.
Yes.
Not belly up. We are.
No, it's a nice table at the bar. There's a bunch of tables and then there's like the bar that is like a true bar.
We're in a corner.
There's maybe 5-6 people in this besides us, okay?
Yes.
Not in the lobby area and the bar area we're popping with Indiana fans, but not the restaurant part. So we're sitting there and they say, oh, we can take you over to the dining room table at 6 if you want. We ended up deciding to stay at the tall top table and just order our good food there. So we're sitting there and as we sit there, it starts to open up. So Indiana fans start to come in. It gets closer to the Bears game. We start to, and when I say become surrounded, this is not an exaggeration. I was literally trapped into the booth because there was a tables that were smaller than ours set up for 2 people each that they took like 3 of them. And there were like 20 people that sat down at these tables and
are
standing around it, standing around the table. You're sitting on the across from me. There are people behind you. Every table in that place, the entire standing room of that place, completely taken up. Mind you, we're ordering like steaks on a skillet and like all these fancy sides, and we are surrounded by Indiana fans, like surrounded. Also, these are families of the players as well, like surrounded. It was insanity. And all of a sudden we were like, whoa, this is not.
It was 1,000 degrees in there. The one guy next to us, everybody was super nice too.
But they were all very kind, but it was getting rowdy.
The restaurant lost contain. And the guy next to us, he's like, because you were truly boxed in.
Yes.
You could not move. I was like, hey guys, really sorry about this. If you feel trapped, well, you are. It was a good response. Food was amazing.
Food was amazing. Great dinner. I wasn't able to drink. So that was like, I was sober and everybody else was like having a great time.
It was it was time to go though. Like it was.
Yeah, we had to gather. We did have our media party to go to, but yeah, which, it was hectic. And then players came down and started seeing their families for a little bit. We were like, "All right, we gotta go."
I will say my random ish shit. I'm at media day. Okay, and like throughout this whole few days, you're gonna see people, you're gonna meet, you're gonna, you know, you talk to Scott Van Pelt of the world, you see Mark Cuban a few feet from you,
yeah,
maybe you say something, right? But you rarely do. Like I'm very quiet when it comes to this shit. I don't like, I just mind my business, right? We're professionals, blah blah blah. I'm standing at media day and I turn to my right, and for the first time ever in a long time, I am starstruck. Now who am I staring at? To be starstruck, you ask? A guy, an influencer on Instagram who catches marshmallows in his mouth. That's what he does. Insane Shane. And I'm in awe. I'm like standing. I like don't know what to do. Do I go up to these guys? So if you don't watch them, Insane Shane, they do these on Dodgeball videos where quite literally most of them, they do fun stuff. But they stand like 20, 15 feet from each other. And they throw stuff at each other. And they try and hit each other in the nuts. That's the presence. That's the and they've got millions of followers. My kids love them. My kids love them. We watch them every night, literally. So I go up to Shane, and I go up to two other brothers, one of which goes by Fat Stafford, and Medium Stafford. And I'm like, guys, I don't normally do this, but I just want to say I love your
content. By the way, they have 2.22 million followers on YouTube. I just wanted to say that so that you guys can understand. Kramer's underselling the influence of this. If you've never heard of them, they're like very, very popular, especially amongst your children.
Well,
And
so I go, my kids love you guys. I love you guys. You guys are great. You keep it fun. They actually like bring their faith into it. It's actually very wholesome. Well, we're hitting each other in the nuts. It's like very fun, light, wholesome content.
Did you watch the Tim Tebow video? Sorry, I'm seeing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, their content at the Natty was good. And so I like talked to them. They couldn't have been nicer. Well, what's funny about this? I run into these guys every fucking where I went. Like everywhere I went.
Yeah.
The gym twice. Like, we were the only people in the gym, hospitality, elevators. Like, it was great. And they couldn't have been nicer. And I took a picture, of course, took a couple. And, like, I sent it to my wife. I'm like, hey, show this to Jack. Show this to her son. He calls me. He's like, oh, my God. This is unbelievable. Can we get their phone? Can we hang out with them? I'm like, no. No, we can't. But
I did hang out with them in the gym.
I have a great picture of them, and it was great. So I was starstruck by guys that hit each other in the balls with, like, the last video.
Yes.
We did debriefed on it. Man, like, he threw a pumpkin pie at the guy's nuts, and it hit it hard. It looked terrible. And he goes, oh, dude, he's so bad. I'm like, this is what my life is now. This is where I've... And what you could tell the people who knew them were, like, starstruck as well. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
On Dodgeball guys. So... highlight of my trip, personally, because I was the cool kid or the cool parent kid. I'm still a kid in my house, at least for a little while.
Yeah. No, you were so excited to tell me about
so
this.
I was so excited.
You were like showing me the picture, and you don't get like over-excited about anything.
I don't do this
like
anymore.
That, but
the only other interaction I saw, like seeing Mark Cuban, who was so excited, was cool. I've not had great interactions with Urban Meyer. I think I've talked about it here. One of the few coaches who I've talked to, which, like, the vibes weren't great. However, standing a few feet from him and Tebow, reconnecting, I was in awe of it. Like, felt like a piece of college football history. Like,
yeah.
That was a neat interaction.
Yeah, we're forgetting one of the biggest things that happened on the sideline, or almost happened. Is you almost got taken out by AJ Hawk.
Oh, yeah.
And I was dying. So we're walking. We have like 30 seconds to get off the field. So we're like trying to bolt for it because we just don't want to be like shooed out. So we're trying to get to the entrance where you can easily get to the press box. And we're walking, and AJ is walking forward and like kind of looking this direction. And you're looking to this side, and he's kind of looking at the same thing you are. And you guys both, you didn't like hit, but you like both all like close. Brushed yeah, chests and like rotated. And I was like, oh my God, you almost just got taken out by AJ Hawk. And I was like, that would have hurt if he didn't catch that. And he like grabbed you and was like, oh, sorry, man. Like, it yeah. was so funny. I was like, this could, I wish. And like the person who was with us as well was like a little too far back to see what happened. And I was like, I just wish that I had that on camera because it was the great, and your face afterwards was just like, geez, okay, that could have been.
Well,
that could have been more crazy.
I had my head on my ass. I was so distracted on the sideline. There were so yeah. many.
Because we were also just trying to get off and then like looking at everything. And we were checking in with like that area on the sideline had like a bunch of like celebrities and the old Miami players and all kinds of things. And also you're just watching out for like the cameras and the cords and the cranes and all the crazy stuff that was on the field. So yeah, no, that was a really funny part of it.
I almost got, yeah, it would have been bad. I said, I wouldn't have gone down.
No, but it would have been like,
it would have been unpleasant. It would have been not great. He looks like he could still play.
Yeah.
Like
he does.
He is put together. Like it would not have been great.
Yeah. No, but seeing Tebow was cool.
Scott Van Pelt, we had a good moment. We had a cool moment. He's so nice.
He's also so tall.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Like, my biggest takeaway is I was like looking up at God. I was like,
how tall is he?
I think he's got to be like, he's got to be a full 6'6", like at least, maybe taller. Cause I felt extremely small. It was good to connect with him.
He's 6'6", which is crazy to me because my brother is 6'8". How did I feel like Scott was so much taller than that?
Well, we were like right on top of each other too because there's nowhere to talk.
Yeah, I was like standing right next to him.
I was like,
that was
cool. Yeah, it was like I said, the vibe before the game, unbelievable. Watch the guy get hit in the head. So one of the scariest things about being in a football game, head on a swivel if you're ever on the sideline, when the specialists warm up first, right? Kickers are kicking, punters are punting. It is always chaos, right? I remember Mac Wilson for Alabama, who was a great linebacker, was their backup punter. And you'd be in there before games. He'd be kicking balls. He was a good punter, linebacker. But balls were spraying all over the place. So if you're ever on the sideline before a game, watch out. Because these guys, fuck this poor guy, working the game, is walking. I'm watching this perfect spiral launch into the night, and you're just like, heads up, boom. Nailed the guy in the head. He had the most nonchalant reaction.
That's like, why I didn't know it hit him in the head, because I wasn't looking, and you were like, oh my God, that hit him right in the head. And I was like, it did? Because he didn't even look like, it looked like it hit him like maybe in the back or something.
Oh my God. Right in the goddamn head. And I just like stood, and he played it off well, got off the field and then probably sobbed because it's like,
yeah.
Who, like, I would have been in shambles. It would have been on, you know, YouTube and millions of views later, et cetera. But it was great. No, it was awesome. We get to spend time together. We spent time with David Kenyon, yeah. who writes for BR and does an amazing job. And is just an all around good dude.
Yeah.
It was
very fun. We got to watch the Bears.
Oh, God.
That was fun. We went to our media party for a little bit and then decided to go to our hotel bar and watch the end of that game and just hang out with each other. And that was nice. I think one of the underrated parts of getting to do this is seeing you guys and being able to spend time with you guys because we work together so much, talk so often. Then even just getting to hang out and shoot the shit before games and just talk about the things that we love. But yeah, no, it is fun that it was in Miami. Wish I got to experience more of the city. I will say the takeout food there, also a just like shout out to Cafe Bastille because I fucking love that place. I ordered from there one day when I was walking to get my prescription and I picked it up because it had really good reviews and it was walkable near where I was picking up my prescription. So I grabbed it and I got a coffee and I like a latte, just like the milk in the coffee.
Yeah.
I love that. And then I got a croissant sandwich and an orange juice. And it was like the greatest thing I'd ever had that I walked there on game day, on national championship day. I walked to the Cafe Bastille to get just coffee because I was like, that's not true. I got a Nutella croissant as well, which by the way, fantastic. But if you're in the Miami area, it was so good. And it was also very cute. It looked like a very New York vibe place. It was Parisian, obviously, but New York vibe with the outdoor like seating and all that. Oh, yeah. But 10 out of 10, recommend that. And then I had a sushi bowl the other night that was also delicious because I was determined to have sushi while we were there.
We did do South Beach, David and I, because you were recovering. It was hilarious because the weather was not cooperating in the morning.
Yeah, the rain. You guys, so, it's not. Yeah. Also, for people who don't live in an area where it's warm but there's rain, it's very confusing.
Well, we made it. It poured. We went out again, and then it really poured. So we found a bar in South Beach just to see cover, and the people watching was incredible. You had people sprinting in like full suits. You had people in like no clothes at all, just not giving a shit. It poured for a while. Miami is cool. Miami on a city like CFB, should we do this again? Yes.
That was a good city. Walkable. I think it's fun. There's a lot to do, a lot to see. Yes. Very unique. I mean, lots of fun. I will say incredibly expensive, and that's coming from me.
Yes.
Very expensive. I was saying to you, like, I would actually like to go to Miami for a trip. Like, I wouldn't mind doing like a vacation there. And then I was like, part of me would rather go do like a tropical island that's close to there. Cause things would be cheaper as opposed to like,
well, no, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it was, you're paying for it for sure. It was a good host city. Stadium is fine.
Far.
Press box, yeah, far and press box. I'm not going to be that sports writer though. Like, I don't want to be that guy. Like,
yeah, tacos were phenomenal that we had the first meal.
Phenomenal, exceptional press box food.
Yeah. Even you and I with the hot dogs.
Hot dogs and ham.
The only two people were like, they're like, oh, we have these desserts for you, but we also have hot dogs and hamburgers. You and I just like book it. I hear somebody in the line behind me say, "Oh, I do not want those hot dogs," and I was like.
Halftime hot dog.
Leave me alone.
Halftime hot dogs at the championship game, and like the funniest thing every year, you don't have like ketchup packets or bottles. You have ketchup that you have to serve on your hot dog with a spoon. And so what happens is you end up like your ketchup distribution is fucking terrible. So like the whole time you're just like eating ketchup with a side of hot dog.
Yeah.
But to your point. It's one of my favorite traditions.
I love a hot dog. Okay.
I have to have a hot dog.
I will never say no to a hot dog.
I manage my eating all day.
Also, yours was ketchup with onions and mine was mustard with relish, which just like feels very like opposites.
That's perfect.
If they had sauerkraut, send me over the edge. I love sauerkraut. That's my, oh my goodness.
Symbolic for this show. All right. So we have to talk. What we're out of football, obviously.
So we're out of games.
Yeah, the show will go on. We will figure out though what our pod schedule is, what we're doing, and all those different things. But this was a really fun year.
It was
awesome. There's obviously more to come. The sport will continue to do stupid stuff. And we will cover all the stupid stuff in different fun ways. Any other?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well. We hope you guys enjoyed this awesome football season. And Paige, I'm Adam. We will talk to you guys soon.